and smiles forever. May my soul his name record. Praise and bless him, praise and bless him, and his wonders spread abroad.
We're going to turn this evening in the Word of God to Psalm 19, and our text is the last verse of the psalm, Psalm 19, verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And the text divides itself up into three parts, rather like the rest of the psalm. The three parts would be, firstly, human words and thoughts, and then the divine watching with approval of those thoughts, and then knowing the Lord as our strength and redeemer. So these three things, human words and the divine watching and knowing the Lord as Savior, Redeemer. And we'll start with the human words. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. Words. This psalm tells us a lot about words, different words. So through the psalm, there's a transition. Firstly, you get the unspoken words of creation. Then you get the written word of the Lord in the scriptures. And then we come to human words and thoughts. Let the words of my mouth. So that's a part of a theme that runs through the psalm. Words. The silent words of the heavens. The heavens declare the glory of God. Every day the sun rises. And every day with its magnificent rising and setting, it declares something of the glory of God. The heavens declare the glory of God. And each day, the sun, as it rises, it's like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. And I don't know whether you can remember, if you got married, the day that you came out of the house to go to the wedding, all dressed up, all excited, and as if the sun comes out excited for what lies ahead, like a bridegroom coming out of the chamber, verse 5. And then it runs its race across the sky like a strong man running the race. And you think of how they run it on their terms. They pace themselves. And you think of the sun pacing itself in perfect timing, never in a hurry, never slow, just steadily racing across the sky until it sets. And it's speaking to the people on the earth, speaking to everybody about the magnificence of God, the glory of God, and the kindness of God, putting our little planet just the right distance from the sun, just tilted at the right angle from the sun, so that as the sun is apparently moving around us, we know that's not the case, but it looks like that. It gives us these seasons. We're moving from one season to another. The sun will be rising in different places on the horizon and setting in different places. Because it's all synchronized to give us these seasons that God has promised. The faithful course of the sun declares us the faithful provision of God. Nothing is hidden from its heat. It's been quite a hot day, an unusually hot October weekend, isn't it? This changing heat. Nothing is hidden from its heat. And its heat gives life. Without the heat of the sun, we would become a frozen planet. And nothing would grow. So the heavens declare the glory of God. Day unto day utters speech. And then when the sun has set, it yields to the moon and the stars. The night coming, it's the turning of the page of time, and the brightness of the sun yields to the silvery, gentle light of maybe a slither of a moon, and the seeming rotation of the fixed constellations around the North Star, the Polaris. And then you get the wandering stars, we call them the planets. Venus shining not so bright at the moment because it's so far away. And we get these elliptical orbits of the planets, sometimes close, sometimes very distant, but always on time. So predictable. Even the moons going around Jupiter, you can get tabulations of when they're going to occur, when you can see the different moons going around Jupiter. The nighttime declares this knowledge, reveals knowledge, verse 2. The night unto night reveals knowledge. This knowledge of the vastness of space and the magnificence of the Creator. I had to do a study for some students in Africa, and we were studying the omnipresence of God. There's nowhere we can go where God isn't. That's a wonderful thing. And then as I was studying, there's another word that comes in to describe God: the immensity of God. That's bigger than omnipresence. Omnipresence is, there's nowhere where God isn't. But the universe is not infinite. God is infinite. He overflows the vastness of the universe. And we think of the night sky. And you can see the milky cloud of stars, which we call the Milky Way, blanketing the earth. And yet God is beyond that. The immensity of our God. Night unto night reveals knowledge. What holds the planets in their orbits? This invisible force we've come to know as gravity. What holds the earth in space? What holds everything in this motion which we can calculate and rely upon? It's the genius of our God. He's made it. It's a mechanism which is so wonderfully consistent. Well, the silent words of creation. The heavens declare the glory. Day unto day utters speech. Night unto night reveals more knowledge. There's no words spoken by the sun. I dare say scientists can sort of tune in to some kind of music from the sun, but I don't know. But no words. And yet, like a school teacher, as Isaiah says, it's precept upon precept, line upon line. There's no place on the planet where the teaching lines of the sun and the stars and the planets isn't observed by people. There's no excuse, as Paul tells us in Romans, because the word goes out. And then there's a change. A focus changes in verse 7 to the word of the Lord, the written scriptures. And these are so full that David uses 6 different nouns to describe the word of the Lord. And then he uses 6 different adjectives to describe those nouns. And then he uses 6 different verbs to tell us the usefulness of this wonderful word. So from verse 7, the law, the testimonies, the statutes, the commands, the fear, the judgments of the Lord, this written inscripturation of words, literal words, not the silent words of creation, but the written words, the words of God's law in the Torah, Genesis to Deuteronomy, the history of the creation, the history of the fall, the history of the flood, the history of the call of Abraham, the history of the patriarchs, Joseph, and how they came to be in Egypt, the history of the Exodus, and then the conquest coming after the book of Deuteronomy, but anticipated. The law of the Lord. It's perfect. It's absolutely perfect. There's absolutely nothing wrong with it. It's complete. It's infallible. It's absolutely perfect. And what does it do? Well, it transforms the soul. It restores the soul. It converts the soul. It changes people as they read it and study it. It's the most beautiful word and the most useful word. The testimonies of the Lord. The word testimony is, you've got the Ark of the Testimony, the covenant ark. And in the Ark of the Covenant, there was the testimony, the law, and the Book of the Covenant. And that these words of a covenant-making, promise-making, promise-keeping God, it's wonderful. And it's sure, absolutely sure. There's no error in it. It's an inerrant word. You can rely upon it, every point of it. And it makes the simple wise. It's not so complicated. You don't need a philosophy degree to understand it. The Spirit can take these words and make the simple wise. Peter, James, John, Andrew, these fishermen, the people who put them on trial said, I don't know, where do they get all this information from? They've never been to college. How do they know these things? And then they say, they've been with Jesus. They've been with Jesus. And Jesus had spoken to them the words of God and made the simple wise. And God's word does that. The statutes of the Lord are right. The things he orders to be done, the commandments of the Lord, the Ten Commandments of the Lord, they're pure and they enlighten the eyes. The judgments of the Lord, this word, this written word, is so wonderful. So the psalm is full of thoughts about words, the unspoken words of creation, declaring the glory of God, revealing the knowledge of God. And then the word of the Lord, written, and being so useful. And then at the end, the psalmist thinks about my words. My words. Let the words of my mouth. You get these inaudible words of the sun shining and it speaks. But the words of my mouth. You have the scriptures and the word of the Lord and its perfection and beauty and usefulness. What about my words? Well, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. The kind of text that a preacher would pray before he preaches. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. It's a standalone text which you could pray at the beginning of your devotional time with God. As you kneel to pray or as you sit to pray and as you direct your thoughts to devotional activity of reading God's word, of praying and worshipping, you could pray this prayer. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. But as we look at this text in the context of the psalm, we can consider these verses, these words, let the words of my mouth, we can consider them in the light of the unspoken words of creation. Consider them in the light of the written, inscripturated word of the Lord. Let the words of my mouth be like the unspoken words of creation, bringing glory to God. praising his handiwork. So that when I speak of the created world, when I speak about God's handiwork and God's common grace in causing the heat of the sun to shine and beam down upon the just and the unjust, Jesus talks about that common grace. Love your enemies. God causes his sun to rise on the just and the unjust. It's this common grace of God. When I speak of creation, I can speak about the common grace of God providing the seed time and the harvest. I should say nothing that denies or detracts from the worship of the Creator God. The inanimate creation declares the glory of the Creator God. Let the words of my mouth do exactly the same. Declare the glory and the handiwork of the Creator God. Let not the words of my mouth deny the Creator. Let not the words of my mouth defy the Creator. But may I speak of the Creator, the silent witness of the heavenly bodies. We should want the words of our mouth to be a blessing to all who hear them. Day unto day, night after night, their message goes out. It's a consistent speaking of creation. Let the words of my mouth be consistent, so that everybody who hears me, any time of day or night, they will only hear the things that will bring glory and honour to God. And then let the words of my mouth be in tune with the law, the testimonies, the statutes, the commandments, the judgments, the verdicts and decisions of the Lord. To be in tune with the written word of God. It was a delight for Rosalind and myself to be in Spain for a weekend, visiting one of our latest grandchildren. And she has a little xylophone, and it plays beautifully. Her mother is quite a musician, so you'd expect it to be a quality xylophone. Not some cheap toy, but one that's got the right notes. And it did have a nice pure sound for each of the notes of the octave. But supposing the A was flat. Not simply A flat, but like an untuned violin string, just wrong. So you play the scale and, oh, that's wrong. Or another note, supposing that the other one was sharp. So you'd be playing the octave, and it, instead of being the regular division of notes, you get this discordant, horrendous flow of the octave, all disjointed. Now, supposing my granddaughter had a xylophone like that, and she started learning the octave, and instead of do, re, mi, so, fa, la, ti, it was really off key, every other note, sharp, flat, distorted. And supposing she learned to sing like that, the school choir. School choir would have a headache retraining her. Now, supposing the words of my mouth are out of tune with, as it were, the octave of God's word, the law, the commandments, the statutes, the judgments, the gospels, the epistles. Supposing I was out of tune on one point and out of tune on another. And then the words of my mouth, everybody who listened started to hear a cacophony of noise, which was a distortion of the truth of God's word. Let the words of my mouth be in tune with your word, Lord. So that when I speak, what people hear is consistent with the creation and its voice declaring the glory of God, is consistent with God's word. Because it's only as it's our mouths speak words that are consistent with God's word that our mouths will do good for people. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimonies of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are pure, rejoicing the heart. So do you want the words of your mouth to lead to the restoring of people? Do you want the words of your mouth to make people wise to salvation? Do you want the words of your mouth to rejoice the hearts of other people? Well, the only way the words of our mouth can be anything like that is for us to be in tune with the words of God. And then the only way to have the right words coming out of the mouth is to have the right meditation within the heart. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. David understood what Jesus would say centuries later. In Matthew 12, 34 and 35. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of a good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. An evil man out of an evil treasure brings forth evil things. There's a connection. What you meditate on in your heart is what you will speak when you do speak. Peter often spoke without thinking, and his words were so inappropriate. Lord, let's build three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. No. This isn't going to last, this transfiguration. Jesus tells Peter and the disciples, I've got to go to Jerusalem and suffer many things. No, Lord, that can never be. Can't allow that to happen. Or Peter saying, you shall never wash my feet. How often Peter would speak things without thinking. And how often we speak things without thinking. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart. And sometimes we can speak the wrong things because what we're thinking in our hearts is wrong. So we should pray this prayer. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. You know, James tells us that the tongue is a world of iniquity. It's a very small member of the body, but it can do so much. Just like a little rudder of a ship. It's quite small, but it can do an awful lot. It can turn the whole ship. And the tongue is a very small member, but it can do a lot. It can do a lot of damage. It can do a lot of good. Just think of a ship being steered by a little rudder out of the storm. Yeah, it's good. The tongue can do a lot of good. It can do a lot of damage. So it's like a discarded bottle in the dry downland heath and the sun, using it like a magnifying glass to light a fire. Well, the tongue can be a little member, but it can be set on fire by hell, and it can do a lot of damage. It can do a lot of damage in the family. It can do a lot of damage in the church. The tongue. So let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. So second point, the divine observation and approval. I remember hearing a sermon which was a blessing to me and a blessing to the many people who heard it. It was preached on a verse in Song of Solomon, Song of Solomon 2, verse 14. O my dove, in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the cliff, let me see your face, let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet and your face is lovely. And what the preacher did was he opened up that and said, do you see how God just longs to hear his people? This is this love song, as it were, between God and his people. Oh, my dove, you're hidden in the cliffs of the rock. You're in the secret places. Let me see your face. Let me hear your voice. Your voice is sweet. And your face is lovely. And he's saying, God, he wants to meet us. He wants to hear our voices. To him, astonishingly, to him, our voices are sweet. God loves to have communion with his people. We think of the death of Jesus Christ. What was the death of Jesus Christ all about? It was about the tearing of the veil of the temple so that God could meet with his people and his people could come and meet with him so that they could hear him and he could hear them. And he longs, and the sermon was this exposition of how sweet the sound of the Lord's people's voices are to him. How he loves to see them coming, as it were, in the secret place and from the secret place peeping out to him. Well, God can find our voices acceptable and sweet and lovely. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. David, as he reflected on the heavens and the silent witness of the stars, he found it so acceptable, so beautiful. Psalm 8, you know, when I behold the moon, the stars, the work of your fingers, it's wonderful. And then to think that you're mindful of man. What man that you're mindful of him, but you are. David delighted in hearing the voice of creation. He delighted in hearing the word of the Lord. Blessed is the man who's meditates upon the law of the Lord day and night. He'll be like a tree planted by the river, bringing forth its fruit. David found the word of the Lord acceptable, so precious. It converted his soul, it made him wise, it rejoiced his heart, it enlightened his eyes. It was so precious. It's more precious than gold. Yes, even than fine gold. It's sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. This word of God, it's so acceptable. And then David is saying, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be precious and acceptable to you, Lord. May it, as if God would treasure our words like gold. Isn't that wonderful? God would listen to us. You think of the prodigal son and the father in the prodigal son. The years when the father wanted to hear the voice of his wayward son. And then when his son returns and the son begins to speak, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. And the words just rejoices the Father's heart. And to think that God, as he listens to us, our prayers of repentance, as he listens to our praises of him, it's delightful to him. He treasures that up like gold. Think of the father and the prodigal son. This day, I'll never forget this day and the words of my son as he returned. It showed me so much of what had happened in his life. And so God can find our words sweet and precious. They can rejoice his heart. There's joy in the presence of the angels of heaven over one sinner repenting. The joy of it. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. How can that be? It can be because of how the psalm ends. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The psalm is about words. The silent words of creation, the written word of the Lord. It's very interesting that the first part, the silent testimony, is introduced by the simplest word for God. The heavens declare the glory of God, El. But then, when it comes to the written word, the most precious name of God is used, and it's used six times over. It's the law of the Lord, Yahweh, Jehovah. It's the testimonies of the Lord. It's the statutes of the Lord. It's the commandments of the Lord. It's the fear of the Lord. It's the judgments of the Lord. This covenant-making, covenant-keeping God. This God who saves his people. And David, as he closes his psalm, he uses this precious name for the Lord. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. He knows this God as his covenant God. He knows this God as the God who redeemed Israel out of Egypt. He knows this God as his strength. When he was a shepherd boy, and the bear and the lion came, and the Lord gave him strength to fight off the lion, strength to fight off the bear. When he went to fight Goliath, he said, well, the Lord is my strength. He gave me victory over those creatures. He gave me victory over this Philistine who's cursed the name of God. You remember when Saul was pursuing David, that Jonathan went to David and strengthened his hand in the Lord. The Lord is my strength and my redeemer. You remember the story that Nathan told David? There was a poor man who had a lamb, and there was a rich man who had whole flocks, and the man had a visitor. He thought nothing of taking the man's only lamb, killing that to gratify his guest's desires. Oh, it's terrible, David said. Terrible. Man should die for that. You are the man, Nathan said to David. You've taken Uriah's wife, Bathsheba. You didn't need to. But all these other women you could have had, but you took one man's precious wife and had her. But then the merciful words of Nathan from God, you shall not die. This forgiveness. And he writes about the forgiveness that he knew in the psalm, later on in the Psalms. My Redeemer, this Lord who's spoken in his word, words that convert the soul, restore the soul. The Lord's my shepherd, he restores my soul. He knew it, makes wise the simple, rejoices the heart. David knew it. And so this prayer, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Strengthen me so that I can speak of you. Cause me to know this redeeming mercy and power so that I can praise you. So the words of my mouth would declare the glories of you, God, you, Lord, as the redeeming God, the Saviour of sinners through Jesus Christ. So this week, unless you're incapable of speech, well, you might do sign language, so that's fine. May the words of your mouth, may the words of your hands, if you speak with sign language, may the meditations of your heart be something that God finds precious and sweet and delightful and acceptable. And then they will be a blessing to other people. And may you know something of the Lord strengthening you to battle with this untamable member of our bodies. The Lord strengthen you to bite your tongue when you need to and speak with it when you need to. And may the redemption be the theme of our conversation more and more. Amen. We're going to join together and sing hymn 481. 481. O walk with Jesus, wouldst thou know how deep, how wide his love can flow? They only fail his love to prove who in the ways of sinners rove. Number 481.
Is love.